Jayaradamadhuva Kunjabhikasulti. Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopichana Manabha Kiri Varadhahote. Gopi Jana Balagoba Yidi Badada Gopi Yasoda Nandana Brada Jana Ranjana Sodanandana Braja Januranjana Jamuna Te Ravana Chati Yamuna Te Ravana Chati Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabhikasulti. Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabhikasulti. Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Bado Dhaude Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Bado Dhaude Iribarudhari Asodanandana Prajajanu Ranjana Yasodanandana Prajajanu Ranjana Jambuna Tira Vanachade Yamuna Te Ravana Chakti Jai Ho Radha Madhuva Kunjabhikasulti Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabhikasulti. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravitakacharya Avasutera Sitashi Shimad. His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chandanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai. Prem Sai Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha. Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna. Go Bhagavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturdam Kijai Jagannathaswamy Kajai Yamunamai Kajai Shimani Lasi Devi Gajai Samavita Bhakta Vrindi Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Harivo. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Is it recording? Because usually the red light goes on when you're recording. Oh, I can't see it. Oh, yeah, I guess I was looking at the wrong side. Okay, so... Oh, good morning. So, today we are starting the 17th chapter in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, so we're going to read the chapter summary and maybe the first, second verses here. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, 17th chapter of the 10th canto. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So first we'll read the chapter summary. So this chapter, the title of the chapter is The History of Kaliya. So this chapter describes how Kaliya left the island of the snakes and how the sleeping residents of Vrindavan were saved from a forest fire. When King Parikshit inquired about Kaliya's leaving Ramanakka Island, the abode of the serpents, and about why Garuda acted inimically toward him, Sri Sukadev Goswami replied as follows. All the serpents on the island were afraid of being devoured by Garuda. To placate him, every month they would leave various offerings for him at the foot of a banyan tree. But Kaliya, puffed up as he was with false pride, would eat these offerings himself. Hearing of this, Garuda became furious and went to kill Kaliya, whereupon the snake began biting the great bird. Garuda fiercely beat him with his wings, sending Kaliya fleeing for his life to a lake adjoining the Yamuna River. Prior to the above incident, Garuda had once come to the Yamuna and started eating some fish. Shobhari Rishi had tried to stop him, but Garuda, agitated by hunger, had refused to heed the sage's prohibitions. And in response, the sage had cursed Garuda that if he ever came there again, he would immediately die. Kaliya had heard of this, and thus he lived there without fear. In the end, however, he was driven out by Sri Krishna. When Lord Balaram and all the residents of Vrindavana saw Sri Krishna rise up out of the lake, beautifully decorated with many different gems and ornaments, they embraced him in great pleasure. The spiritual masters, priests, and learned brahmanas then told Nanda Maharaj, the king of the cowherds, that although his son had been caught in the grips of Kaliya, it was by the king's good fortune that he was now free again. Because the people of Vrindavan were quite worn out by hunger, thirst, and fatigue, they spent that night on the banks of the Yamuna. In the middle of the night, a fire happened to blaze up within the forest, which had become dry during the hot season. As the fire surrounded the sleeping inhabitants of Vrindavan, they suddenly awoke and rushed to Sri Krishna for protection. Then the unlimitedly powerful Lord Sri Krishna, seeing his dear relatives and friends so distressed, immediately swallowed up the terrible forest fire. So now we go to the first text. Sri Rajovacha Nagalayang Ramanakang Katam Tatyaja Kaliyaha Kritam King Va Suparnasya Tenai Kena Samanjasam. Sri Rajavacha Nagalayam Ramanakam. Katam tatya jakalyaha. Akritam kimba suparnasya. Tenaikena samanjasam. Sri Rajovacha. Nagalayam navanakam. Katam tatya jakalyaha. Kutam kimba suparnasya. Tenaikena samanjasam. Sri Rajavacha. Nagalayam ramanakam. Katam tatya jakalyaha. Kutam kimba suparnasya. Tenaikena samanjasam. Okay. Sri Raja Uvacha. The king said, Naga of the serpents, Alayam the residence, Ramanakam the island named Ramanaka. Katam, why? Tatyaja gave up. Kaliyaha, Kaliya. Kritam was made. Kimva, and why? Suparnasya of Garuda. Actually, that word means he who has very big wings, you know, amazing wings. So, Tena, with him. Kaliha, with him, Kaliha, yeah. Ekena, alone. Asamanjasam, enmity. Translation, having thus heard how Lord Krishna chastised Kaliya, King Parikshit inquired, why did Kaliya leave Ramanaka Island, the abode of the serpents? And why did Garuda become so antagonistic toward him alone? Interesting question. So this is the question, and it's going to be answered in this particular chapter. So we're going to go on to the texts 2-3 here, and then we'll speak on that. Sri Sugavacha Upaharyai Sarpajanair Masi Masiha Yo Balaki Vanaspatyo Mahabahu Naganham Pran Nivrupataha Swam Swam Bhagam Payachanti Naga parvani parvani agopitayatmana sarve suparnaya mahatmane. Shukadeva Goswami said, to avoid being eaten by Garuda, the serpents had previously made an arrangement with him whereby they would each make a monthly offering of tribute at the base of a tree. Thus, every month on schedule, Almighty Armed King Parikshit, each serpent would duly make his offering to that powerful carrier of Vishnu as a purchase of protection. So, I think we need to speak a little bit about Garuda here, because some of you may be shocked that here is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu who is not a vegetarian. So, it's shocking. So, we're going to speak a little bit about Garuda's history, if that's all right. So, here's the history. Once upon a time, many eons ago, Kashyapa actually had many wives. But two of the wives that are important in this particular story is Vinata and Kadru. He loved his wives very much, and he asked them, both of them, what would you like to have? So I should go, Om Gana Tumiranasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So what would you like to have? Would you like to have 1,000 sons or 2 great sons? So you both talk amongst each other and you decide which you'd rather have. And so Kadru, she said, I'd love to have 1,000 sons. You know, she was thinking that more is better than less. Of course, just like we were talking to the devotees last night about preaching, the discussion ended with quality is better than quantity. Sometimes, like, and Prabhupada also talked sometimes about what? Boiling the milk. He said, don't be so anxious to get many, many new followers. Just try to boil the milk and become Krishna conscious yourselves. And also, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example of what a moon or the sun can illuminate basically everything. But little stars, as they say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. So anyway, so Vinata was actually more intelligent. She said, I want 2 really like first-class sons. And Kadru said, I just want 1,000. So they came to an agreement. And so in those days, of course, these were powerful entities. They could give birth in different ways. And basically, they weren't like limited to just 1 or 2 kids. And they weren't limited to just 1 species. These Prajapatis, they could give birth to many different species simultaneously. Anyway, don't ask me how they did it, but they did it. So then Kadru gave birth to 1,000 snakes. I guess they hatched from the eggs. And some of them were quite nice and some of them were not so nice. We talked about this previously that Shesha, of course, was quite nice. He's definitely expansion of Krishna. And there are other ones that were quite nice too. So, and then Vinata actually gave birth or laid 2 eggs. Actually, birds and even snakes can be called dwija, twice born, because first the egg comes out and then the egg hatches. So that's its second birth. So our second birth means, you know, janmana jayate shudra samskara bhavet dvijam. We can become not birds, but we can become twice born by taking initiation and following the instructions of the spiritual master, like getting up early in the morning. So she gave birth, or not exactly birth, but out plopped 2 eggs. And she waited for a long time, and it was something like 50,000 years or something like that, and neither of the eggs hatched. So sometimes when you're impatient, you can cause havoc. So she broke open one of the eggs, and there was a half-formed bird in it. And that bird got really angry with her. And the bird had his wings, but the other part of the body was actually deformed. And that bird's name was Aruna, who later on became the chariot driver for the sun. So anyway, the bird flew away and cursed his mother, because the mother had... you know, premature egg hatching, not such a good idea. And he said, I curse you to become the servant of the co-wife, that is Kadru. So flew away, and so she definitely waited for the next egg to hatch. And out of the next egg, when it hatched, another 50,000 or 50 million years, I forget the exact time frame there. When the next egg hatched, guess what happened? This big bird came out. It was Garuda. And he was like really big, you know, big bird. So and he flew away and he vowed to serve his mother. And this, so what happened is, in the meantime, I guess right before his birth, there was a wager, a bet, between Vinata and Kadru. Remember, Kadru is the mother of the snakes, a thousand snakes. Vinata is the mother of Garuda. So, all right, so there was a wager. And the wager was based upon what color the tail of Uchayashrava was. This is a horse. And so the horse naturally had a white tail, but Kadru said her position was the tail was black and Vinata said white. So you'd think that Vinata would win the wager, because whoever won the wager would become the slave master or mistress, whatever, of the other lady, and the other lady would become the slave. Could you imagine, like, betting like that? It's against the principles. So they bet, and Kadru got a little nervous because she was thinking, yeah, maybe the tail is actually white. What are we going to do? So she ordered her thousand snake sons to go and immediately enter into the tail, you know, just like be all over the tail. I guess it was quite agitating for the horse to have snakes in his tail. But anyway, and so they flew to Uchayashrava, and they saw Uchayashrava had a black tail, and so Vinata became the the servant of Kadru. And so not only was she the servant of Kadru, but she was the servant of all of Kadru's kids. And when Garuda was born, he had to serve all these snakes by flying around with them. Whew. It was pretty interesting. You can imagine, like, this bird flying with snakes on his back. And one time he actually tried to kill him. He thought, let me kill them by flying close to the sun, because snakes are actually cold-blooded. Cold-blooded means that they don't have a means, because they only have a three-chamber heart. They don't have a means to regulate the temperature in their body. So generally, like right now, they'll be underground. It's not really a problem. But when the sun comes out, they come out to warm themselves in the morning, and in the evening, they're actually warm themselves too. But not in the middle of the day. So in the middle of the day, when it's a hot day, okay, you really don't have too much fear from snakes. But in the evening and in the morning, that's when the snakes come out, depending upon when the sun comes out. Of course, if the sun comes out at midday, they'll come back at midday if it's raining the rest of the day. So just be careful with the snakes. So anyway, so he flew close to the sun just to burn them to a crisp. And, you know, sometimes you'll actually see snakes or worms that got caught in the middle of the road and they're actually dried out. And that's because they're cold-blooded. So what happened is Kadru started to pray to Indra to save her sons, and then the rain came down and the snakies were saved in this particular way. So Garuda got quite frustrated in this regard. And then he asked the snakes, you know, how can I become free from your servitude? How can my mother become free from the servitude to all the snakes and also to Kadru? And the snakes replied, just get us some nectar, the Amrit, nectar of immortality that had been gotten from the churning of the milk ocean. And so Garuda said, all right, I'll try to do that. So he went to his father and Kashyap, and he said to his father, you know, I need some strength to be able to do this. You know, what should I eat? And his father blessed him that you can eat anything except for Brahmins, even human beings. Pretty interesting. That's why it's good to be a Brahmin. So he said you can eat anything except for human Brahmins. And so Garuda went to this village of Nishadas. I mean, anyway, let's describe where that is. I mean, that, anyway, whatever, you get the idea. People weren't so high class. And he opened his mouth and swallowed the whole village. That's his allotted. Every animal has his allotted food. It's not wrong for a tiger to eat human beings either. I mean, we should protect ourselves, but meat is the allotted food. And actually, you can even see physiologically, by the, and we're aware of this, the size of the intestines and the type of teeth, the strength of the stomach acid. I mean, so many ways that we can see the body is not meant to eat meat. You know, the teeth, you don't have fangs. Of course, your eye teeth may be fangs sometimes, but anyway. So we ate the whole village, but there was a problem. He started to have like a burning sensation in his throat, and it wasn't the coronavirus. The burning sensation was due to the fact that one of the Nishida ladies had married a Brahmin man, and the Brahmin man had got caught in his throat too. And so he was going, and he said, "Get out." And the Brahmin said, "Yes, but I want my take my wife with me." So Garuda let them go out, and he was happy. And then he still even wanted more strength, something more to eat. He wasn't quite satisfied. And so his father said, "You know, there's this tortoise and an elephant." Actually, they were two Brahmins who had started cursing each other. And, you know, when you really curse, you should become an elephant, you're stupid. You should become a tortoise, you're lazy. So they cursed each other, and they were, actually it's described in the Mahabharata, they had been fighting each other for many eons. And so Kashyapa said, "You can eat them." And they were gigantic. I mean, like the size of a solar system or something like that. I mean, really big. So then Garuda grabs them both, and he's looking for a place to land, basically, to eat, you know, because he has them in his claws. And he just doesn't know where to land. And first he tries to land on this big, big banyan tree. And it happens to be that these tiny sages the size of the thumb, Valyalikas or Valyalikas, are actually meditating there. And so he has to also grab that the branch because he doesn't want to commit the offense of, you know, hurting these sages. And the sages eventually leave the branch, respecting Garuda. And then Garuda lands on this mountain and he eats the tortoise and the elephant. And then he gets this strength. I mean, this is actually an interesting story. I love this story. Then he gets strength and he goes and he's able to get the nectar, but there's this, he fights off the demigods like Indra and everybody else. He's fighting and then eventually he's able to pierce through this revolving like disc that has razor sharp blades by making himself very, very small because that's guarding or protecting the nectar. So he makes himself very, very small, enters into this place, gets the nectar and actually smashes that disc later on the way out. And he's really happy. He has the nectar and Indra, while he's taking the nectar away, Indra fires his thunderbolt at Garuda. And what happens is that Garuda, just to respect Indra's thunderbolt, he drops one feather. And that feather is like gigantic. I mean, it's practically as big as the whole universe. I mean, Garuda's really a big bird. He drops that feather, and the feather just goes. Anyway, and then that's where he gets the name Suparna that's used in this in these two verses, Suparnasya. It means he who has the feather, he who has big wings, basically. And Indra is very, very pleased with him and trying to make a deal so he doesn't give the nectar to the snakes. And Indra and Garuda, they have a mediation session. And it's described that Garuda says, "All right, I don't want to give this to the snakes, but I have to give it to the snakes. So what should I do?" And Indra says, "Well, here's an idea. You give it to the snakes, and tell them that they have to take a bath before they can drink this nectar. And while they're taking a bath, I will come, Indra, will come and steal away the nectar. Okay, good deal. So Garuda's flying back. And then while he's flying back with the nectar, Lord Vishnu says, you know, I really like what you did. You're really cool. I mean, not exactly those words. You're really nice. And ask for a benediction. And Garuda's thinking, I always want to be above you. And so the Lord says, yes, you can be my flag. So actually he becomes the flag of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his chariot. So when you have Krishna's chariot, you actually have the sign of Garuda on it. It's called Garuda Dvaja. That means the flag of Garuda on Krishna's. That's the name of Krishna's chariot, actually. And so then Garuda says, yeah, I'm pleased with you, Vishnu. Ask for a benediction. You know, reciprocal benediction. This is the etiquette. And so Vishnu says, you should become my carrier. And Garuda says, okay. So that's how he became Vishnu's carrier. So then he flies back. I left out the important part, that with this whole interaction with Indra, he asked for a benediction. And Indra, because Indra wants to take away the nectar. And Garuda says, I want the benediction that snakes will be my food. And so, you know, this is how snakes become his enemies. And so then anyway, eventually he flies back and gives the snakes the nectar. The snakes become really enthusiastic seeing the nectar. Garuda says he has to, they have to take a bath. They go to take a bath. The nectar is stolen. Some of the nectar, it falls on the grass, and the snakes are just like interested in licking up whatever's on the grass. And of course, the story goes that that's why the snakes have, some of them have forked tongues, because their tongues got caught in the grass. So it's a very interesting story about Garuda. So this is the description of why he's the enemy of the snakes and why he's allowed to eat everything except for Brahmins. Anything and everything except for Brahmins. So I think that's all I had to say about Garuda, because this is, let's see if there's anything in the Acharyas I can read about this. Actually, there's a purport here. Srila Sridhara Swami has given an alternate explanation of this verse. Upahariyai may also be translated as by those who are to be eaten, and sarpa jalahai as those human beings who were dominated by or who belong to the serpent race. Another point is these serpents, they also have the ability to change their form. They have human forms too. And the Pandavas, I mean, Kunti was actually associated, a family member of the serpent family, a descendant of some of the serpents, Nagas. According to this reading, a group of human beings had fallen under the control of the serpents and were prone to be eaten by them. To avoid this, the human beings would make a monthly offering of the serpents, who in turn offer a portion of that offering to Garuda, so that he would not eat them. The particular translation given above is based on the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami and the translation by Srila Prabhupada in his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In any case, all the Acharyas agree that the serpents purchase protection from Garuda. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the snakes used to offer to Garuda at the proper time, especially prepared fruits. So the snakes actually assumed human forms when they were doing this. Prepared fruits and roots under a tree in order to prevent Garuda from eating them. At that place, all the snakes used to present their individual offerings once every 15 days, Parvani. This was in order to protect themselves, Gopithya. And Jiva Goswami said, O mighty armed king, by your prowess as a king, even your enemies paid tribute to you. Every fortnight they made offerings to Garuda, who had unlimited power, and Mahatmane, in order to contribute their share. And Sanatana Goswami, says 3 verses explain. The snakes would make offerings of fruits and roots, vanaspatya, that means the stuff from the forest, which were previously determined, pran nirupitaha, monthly at the abode of the snakes, the almighty Arun king. By your prowess as a king, even your enemies paid tribute to you. Every fortnight, same thing, they made offerings to Garuda who had unlimited power, Mahatmane, in order to contribute their share. Because he was powerful, they had to make the offering. Or one could satisfy even a natural enemy with offerings of fruit alone because he was a great soul. So these are some of the explanations. So I guess that's it. So any questions or comments about the story that we told? Garuda.
I mean, but Garuda protected the, in other words, it says here, in any case, all the Acharyas agree that the serpent's purchase of
protection from Garuda. Yeah, yeah, it's just like mafia.
Yeah.
You know, the mafia, like, they'll ask for protection money so that they can be protected, so you can be protected from them. We had some disciples in Mexico that were approached in Cancun by the mafia, you know, local mafia. It's not Italian mafia, although it's like a generic term now for people who do the same thing. So they were approached, them, the disciples had a restaurant, and they were approached that if you really want to be alive, you got to pay some protection. And I think they refused to pay protection, and somehow or other it was all right. But it's very strong there, the mafia. They actually went into a police station. One of my disciples was a policeman, and burned down the police station, you know, just shot everybody in the police station. So Garuda's not mafia. But he does eat snakes, and he likes to eat snakes. And snakes, as we mentioned before, snakes are not all bad. We have that Kunti actually was a descendant, at least one of her family members was a Naga. So then when Bhimsen was poisoned by Duryodhana and he went into the lake and he went down, 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 he was actually saved by the Naga's bites on him. And not only were the Nagas saving him by their bite, you know, one poison counteracted another poison. I guess it's like chemotherapy. And so not only that, they actually were so pleased with him, they gave him this, I think called Rasa Kunda, which is a drink that makes you stronger than 10,000 elephants. And so he was very much blessed by the snakes. Whereas other snakes oppose the Pandavas, like in the case of Takshika. Of course, we know that Takshika actually killed Parikshit Maharaj, or didn't kill him. Parikshit Maharaj had left his body beforehand, and so he burnt the body of Parikshit Maharaj. Takshika, it's an interesting story. When Takshika was going to attempt to kill Parikshit Maharaj, he met his father Kashyapa, this is a story from the Bhagavatam, that Kashyapa wanted to save Parikshit Maharaj because he had the remedy for the snake poison. So Garuda knew this, and he said basically to his father, I mean, really disobedient son, that, and he actually bribed his father later on, it's an interesting story, that he said to his father, let's see if your remedy actually works. So Garuda bit a tree, and the tree, Takshika, bit the tree, and the tree immediately turned to ashes. And then Kashyapa, he took this, whatever it is, remedy, and the tree, boop, popped up again. And Takshika became really upset that my poison is not going to work, or my bite's not going to work. So he bribed his father. There's another instance of bribing in Krishna consciousness, or not in Krishna consciousness. And then Takshika also, when the Pandavas first went to Indraprasht, Takshika was living there. This is a story in the Mahabharata too. Takshika was actually living there with his snakes, and they tried to attack the Pandavas, and the Pandavas actually had to neutralize Takshaka. And not only did they neutralize Takshaka, but they actually killed his family. The story is, let's see, oh yeah, that's in the Mahabharata, where the Kandava forest had to be burnt. You know the story? Everybody knows that story. The Kandava forest was a forest that contained herbs. It's a herbal remedy. Mother Krishnapriya would like this. So it contained a lot of herbs. And Agni, he was actually had a big stomach ache. So he needed to take the herbs that were in the Kandava forest. And the reason he had a big stomach ache, there was this king, Marut, who had done a sacrifice for like 12 or 14 years and kept pouring ghee into the fire. And, you know, ghee is nice, but, you know, drinking it for 12 or 14 years is not exactly my cup of tea. So he actually was extremely sick, and the only thing that could remedy was that if he ate all the herbs in the Kandava forest or they were burnt up. And Indra was preventing that from happening because Takshaka lived there with his family. And so Arjuna actually had a fight. Arjuna and Krishna had a fight with Indra. And he was able to burn the Kandava forest, and all the living entities, except for a few, were burnt up. And Maya Danava escaped too, and he was the one who constructed Indraprastha, the whole wonderful mystical palace at Indraprastha. So anyway, so then Takshaka's family got burnt up, his wife and kids got burnt up, and so that's one reason why he was like the eternal enemy of the Pandavas and very enthusiastic to bite Parikshit Maharaj. So that's a story of snakes. So we have to end now on that happy note of the snakes. So if you worship Govardhan Hill, you won't have to worry about snakes. How about that? What?
Giriraj,
Govardhan Hill, yeah, and or Giriraj. So everybody should worship Govardhan Hill, and we're going to see Govardhan Hill in a second. Greet the deities. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Mystic origins of the mafia.
Okay, I did it in time.
Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham
Okay. So, page 12. Vaishnava Vidyapati. Ebara Karuna Koro, Vaishnava Goshai. Ebara Karuna Koro, Vaishnava Goshai. Bhakti Japa Panatoma Vineke Huna Koe Yaharane Hapature Javavoy Hemonado Yalla Prabhu Keva Kota Gana Barasa Hoyle Hashate Bava Rasane Vitrakora Vitomara Gavavo Aristane Paparade Kare hare na kapo Tumatsane aparare nagi pare Govindako Hey namo Raha Vaishnava Para Rati Janme Koriyasya
Chame corodoi apara pone e mago canuna to Vaishnava Gosara Jayarat Pandulabdhenanda
Paramahansa Paravatacharya, also Teda Sitashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Avaya Chandanada Bhaktivedanda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrindi Kijaya, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijaya, Premse Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya, But Rabu Nichananda should wait to get out, huh? She was the gold, Bhakta, Rindigajai, Shishi, Radhakrishna, go, become a Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda, Giri, go, Vrindakijai, Vrinda, Vrindakijai, Maturidam Kijai, Jagadath Sami, Kijai, Munamai, Kijai, Shimari Lassa, Devi, Kijai, Sukhda, Bhakta, Rindigajai, Gold, Vrimananda, Hadigadi, go. All glories, these humble devotees. All glories to simple devotees, all glories to simple devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we'll read the translation. O Vaishnava Goswami, please be merciful to me now. There is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls. Where does anyone find such a merciful personality by whose mere audience all sins go far away? One becomes purified after bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganges many times, but just the sight of you purifies the fallen souls. This is your great power. The holy name delivers one who is offended, Lord Hari, but if one offends you, there is no means of deliverance. Your heart is always the resting place of Lord Govinda, and Lord Govinda says, the Vaishnavas are in my heart. I desire the dust of your holy feet in every birth I may take. Please consider Narottama yours and be kind upon him. Narottama Das Thakur Kijai. So just let me see if there's any questions.
Questions
from our fans.
Oh. Hare Krishna Gurudev. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.